This is New Reel. This is New Reel, beginning of Channel 1 Right. Beginning of Channel 1 Right, a New Reel. I'm setting it up for Mr. Gilbert this Tuesday morning, the 28th, I guess it is, somewhere along there, of April 1970. Tuesday morning, we just got in from working the cows, and it's hot and dry now in this end of April. This is Tuesday morning, beginning of Channel 1 Right, on this New Reel. On this New Reel, the beginning of Channel 1 Right, and I'm setting it up for Mr. Gilbert, if he can come over and advise me on putting in the bear seed. You were just out of the Navy up there in Georgia, and your neighbors figured that you wasn't in account anymore. So you were kind of on your mettle to show them, is that it?
No, I showed them. I had a little piece of ground over there, I guess it was about...
Give him some.
No, I wouldn't care if anything.
Some what?
I wouldn't care if I sang. Wouldn't care if I sang. I had a little piece of ground that I don't know, it was a little over an acre in it, I guess. And it was flat. It was part of it. It was clay in there, you know, and it's part of it. It was just red clay. There wasn't no soil there. I don't think it would have sprouted a pea. But I had chickens over there. Bunch of chickens layers, so I'd clean the hen house out and I'd put that on that poor spot there, see? I'd done that a couple of years. But I'm getting a little ahead of my story. The first time I come out in 31, my brother was farming the place there, my half-brother, the oldest half-brother. So he had that in corn, and he hadn't gathered it. When I come out, I happened to gather it. So he had two-horse wagon and old sideboards on it.
Uh-huh.
And we went in there and I helped him gather it. He got about a half a load of shucks and worm dust out of it, I call it.
Worm dust.
Yeah, that's good. I know what you mean.
Yeah. It really wasn't corn. So after I'd done all this, put that on there, I thought I had it pretty well up. Well, I had a house place right across the ditch from that. It had been a house there, and I tore it down, an old log house that was built when the W&A Railroad. And seeing St. Elwood was built through there?
Yeah.
And I tore it down, and there was a lot of Johnson grass on that. So I figured, I said, well, I'll put some alfalfa in there. I believe that ought to stick. So I put some alfalfa in there, and I got a beautiful stand, you know, and come up and... Johnson grass had come up, and just about that time it had boot where I'd go in there and mow it down, it made good hay. Well, the first cutting, I got mostly Johnson grass. Well, second cutting, well, I got mostly alfalfa, but I had enough Johnson grass in there to hold it apart and make it cure out good. Well, when I got, this piece over across the ditch there, I said, well, that now ought to make good alfalfa too. So I went over there and fixed it up in fine shape, and I sowed it in alfalfa, and I got a beautiful stand up. But the doggone stuff died. It didn't stick. And I don't know what is something in the ground. They told me I ought to have limed it. I don't know.
No.
But I went in there. I seen it wasn't going to stick, so I sowed it in Lespedeza.
Yeah.
So that come up, boy, just thick as hair on a dog's back. And I went in there and cut hay off of it. It was beautiful hay. And I said, well, I just went in there and fixed up and turned it, you know, and so did all of my stable manure out on that poor end of it. Then I laid it off and I fertilized it, planted it in this yellow corn, and it come up and was beautiful. And I went out there with a cultivator with the fenders on each side with a little 2-inch scooters, you know, and just level the dirt and fall against your fenders, you know, and it'd fold in, keep them covering the corn up. And they left it kind of down in a little fur and had a ridge like that in the middle. I cleaned it. Mm-hmm. So about 2 weeks, I went in that corn up about that high. I went in there with 3-inch scooters and went in there again. Well, I leveled it in a row, cleaned it, and I had a little ridge in the middle yet. And that night after I done that, it went to rain, and I didn't get in there for 3 weeks. I mean, it rained, rained, rained. And the time I was over, well, that corn was up shoulder high and just as black and hanging out there. This old fellow I was telling you about, so you couldn't tell the difference in fertilizer, he come over and I said, well, Jimmy, I said, what are you going to do with that piece of corn over there? I said, I'm going to gather it when it makes. He said, I believe I'd get in there and run them middle out. I said, no. I said, I ain't going to get in there. I said, I done run my last piece of corn by working it. I said, that's done. Well, it was grassy and iron weeds just thick as dickens, you know. Well, I went in there and gathered that, and I got 3.5 2-horse wagon loads of corn off. That Quinero stalk had 2 ears. Majority of the stalks had 2 ears, and it was just hanging out there in the middle.
Big ones?
Yeah. Doggone ears of corn like that, you know. There was an old fella lived over there when I was going on and growing up, you know. He used to come around there every Sunday, drive around there, and he'd stop and look at that corn. So he asked me one day, he says, Gil Beth, he says, what kind of corn is that you got over there? He says, well, heck, he says, it don't make any difference what kind it is. He says, I want you to save me some seed from that corn. He says, any corn that made corn like that did without any work, and I want some of it. It tickled me. I get a kick out of all them people around that way. But I showed them around there. I had some corn that was on some land that never made any corn, you know. And I went there and fixed it good and put a little fertilizer under it. And then I went in there and put some soda, just broadcast it through there after it got up about shoulder high before it tousled.
Yeah.
Had to keep it green. And I had it in this Hastings Prolific. And I had just lots of stalks in there, you know, that had as high as 9 ears to the stalk. You know, seen so much stalk on corn in your life.
9 ears.
Yeah, I said plenty of stalks. I had as many as 9 ears to the stalk.
A man alive, that'd take fertilizer to make all that.
And I didn't work it too much. What I worked it was mostly, I had a 2-horse cultivator then. I had these scratcher attachments on there. And I just straddle a row and go along and jog it down, just keep the weeds out. Corn don't need too much work. If you work it too much, if you tear the roots up, it won't make nothing.
Well, where did you learn about that, tearing up the roots? I never knew that till way on late, Mr. Gilbert.
By experience, I killed a crop of corn 1 year by working it. That's how I found out.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
How'd that happen?
Well, it was raining a lot, and the corn got up about, some of it putting it as high as this table, see?
Yeah.
And it was so grassy and all. I said, I ought to go in there and clean that out. So I went in and cleaned it out, and I killed the corn. I didn't kill it, but it didn't make nothing.
Well, when it was that high, what did you use on it?
You know, all we had then was this old Georgia plow stock, you know, with a mule to pull it.
With a sweep on it.
A sweep on it.
Yeah.
But you had to plow pretty deep.
Yeah.
It got so grassy and weedy, you had to plow pretty deep to plow it.
Yeah.
So if I'd went in there with them scratcher attachments, they'd have tore it up and the dirt had fell back before they'd travel, see?
Oh.
why it had been all right, but I didn't know that then, see, I had to find out hard way.
I never, well, now, let me tell you, I don't believe I ever saw them scratches used. Were they, you'd put that on a this Plastoc too?
Yeah. I got one up there next time you come up
there,
I'll
got
show you.
Two or three scratches on each side?
I got one I got up here, one I made, it's got three, see? Well, what they used to call them was a G-whiz, see?
Yeah.
And they got three on each side. Well, they had 7 feet in there. But I taken them feet off of a G-whiz and made me an Alabama, what they call an Alabama coon. You just put it on a plow stock, you bolt it on there, and you go along and you got a lot of trash in your ground, you know, that drags. Well, all you do is you hold these handles and you do this as you go along, and it just rolls all that stuff out, see, and tears your ground up as you go. It never fouls up. Mr. Patterson, I made one, he used it up there on his beans one time. He says, that's the doggonest thing he ever seen.
Yeah, I want to see that.
Yeah. You asked Mr. Patterson about Alabama coon, what he thought of next time you see him.
All right.
That's what they call them.
Well, now, let me tell you, this other thing that you're telling me about, where the ground was crusty. Now, who was that you was fooling with? That is your brother? No.
No, that was
another fellow.
Tenant I had on the place. He was a good old boy. He was raised on a farm, but there's a lot that he hadn't learned yet, too. But
what's the matter? He just didn't notice, or what?
Well, he noticed all right. He's quick to learn and all, but he just hadn't been here long enough to get the experience.
Oh,
yeah. Young feller.
Young feller.
Now, what we used on that, what I was talking about, we used Alabama coon to tear that up.
Oh, you did?
He cut a path about that wide.
Yes. Yeah. And then when you done that, you waited a day or two?
Yeah, waited a couple of days, then come back and turned it.
And then you turned it.
That's what I was telling about. That ground got so hard and dry that you couldn't turn it.
Mm-hmm.
I was looking at his over here. And take them Alabama coon and go on there and tear up the top of it. They call them moisture rise. And after about 2 or 3 days, you can go on there and turn it then. And don't break up in clods. And it causes what it does. It causes the moisture to rise.
Mm-hmm.
And your ground gets fallow.
That's it. See, the ground was so hard.
Yeah.
The other boy said wasn't any use to do that. Wasn't any use to fool with it.
No, we was raising cotton where we was going to plant cotton up there then, and we had the cotton allotment. Well, if you didn't get, you couldn't get it in, well, you'd lose out on that much, see. Well, he just thought he wasn't going to get plants cotton, see. I said, yeah, we're going to plant cotton. Well, he told me, he said, well, if we ever do anything, put it in here so dry, it won't come up. Well, after we done that, turned it and drug it down, laid off, planted it in 3 days, cotton was up. It outgrowed the one that was planted before that.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Well, now there you are.
Well, just let know a few things.
Well, another thing I found out about farming.
Let me see if this door's open. I'm not getting much air. I hear you. Go ahead.
Another thing I found out about farming, these people all get in a hurry here in the spring of the year to plant stuff before the ground warms up.
Oh.
And your ground is wet and it's cold and you plant your stuff. If it comes up at all, well, it ain't got no stem on it. It'll come up with a little leaves right flat on the ground. And it don't grow, and it don't get up to where you can work it.
Yeah.
Well, if you wait till the ground warms up and plant it, anything will come up there with a long stem on it, see?
Yeah.
A growing, because the ground's warmed up where you got a growing season, see? Well, you can get in there and work it. And 9 times out of 10, see, when you do that, you've got your seed bed made up where it'll stay loose. If you turn it and fix it early when the ground is cold, it has a tendency to run together too, see?
Yeah.
Harden up.
Yeah.
Now I noticed up there on cotton, you plant your cotton and you'd come up there when it's early and you have two little old leaves out there and they'd be right on the ground, see? And it seemed like it would never get up where you could do anything to it. Well, if you wait till your ground warmed up and plant it, you'd come up there with a stem on it. And it'd grow. Everything else same way. Sometimes you can get by with corn. Corn is about the best thing that you can plant that early. And it'll come on. We had a piece of corn up there one year, and I was just a kid. Daddy was farming.
Oh, that's right. Cotton needs hotter weather, yeah. Don't it? That's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When you plant, we planted about 5 acres of corn up there one year, way back early in March. And it come up pretty stand. It happened to be warm, you know, and all right. And it come up pretty and got up about that high. And one night it come to a darnedest frost. Everything is like a snow. And Daddy shook his head. He said, well, he's working over in the bottom of the team. And he said, as soon as they get through all that, we'll come back over here and replant that. Well, time he got back over there, but the corn had come out, see? It bit it down. By 10 o'clock that morning when the sun come out, you couldn't see a stalk of corn. It just melted, disappeared. But time he got over there in 2 or 3 days, well, that corn went spiking out.
Did it?
And we didn't replant it. Well, it made the best piece of corn he ever had. But they want to stalk in there more than shoulder high. Didn't grow tall. But putting your ever stalk, had 2 ears on it. It was pretty. Mm-hmm. It was the funniest piece of corn you ever seen. You just get up there and look down the row and them ears hanging out there. And little old corn didn't look like it was big enough to hold them up.
Yeah.
Isn't that strange?
Yeah.
I didn't know corn would do that if it got knocked down.
No, it'll come on.
Oh, that's curious.
But that's about the only thing I know that'll do it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I was farming up here in Miss Patterson. We had that backside down there in squash. And we planted it early. She was a...
See that handsome fella sitting up there? Duck your head over this way, you can see him.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, no, yeah, right over
I see him.
There.
Yeah. Yeah, I see him. Blue Jay.
He's over there. He don't want feed. He wants suet.
No. Now, Mama up there, she got bird crazy here back in the winter. She feed them. She says now she don't feed them anymore.
So no.
They can loot for herself now. What she was interested in mostly was these... Baltimore Orioles, she liked to look at them. There's two different kinds of them, see?
I never knew that.
Yeah. She's got the dope on them, a lot of them birds. I don't know, I can remember I like to look at them.
Sure.
She said, well, come here, here's a pretty one, here's a glass and put on it. And I said, well, what kind is that? And she'll tell me, I said, I don't know.
Oh, there are a lot of birds, aren't there?
Yeah.
Now, this old blue jay, he's a handsome fellow. But the best customer for that suet is that red-bellied.
Oh.
He'll come up there, and, you know, he don't like to sit on something flat. He won't sit on the side of a tree. And he'll sit there, and he'll talk. And he's loud, fella. Mm. He won't just, you'd think any, there he is, there he is. See him?
Mm-hmm.
Stick your head over this way.
I see him.
You see him? Well, now he's quiet now.
But you know, them blue jays are mean. They're a pest. They're a rogue. They'll steal your pecans. They don't eat them. They'll get them and fly off with them and then lose them. And they'll rob these other birds' nests, too, a lot of times. As bad as a crow. A crow will rob a nest, you know, and eat the eggs. They'll do the same thing. Then they're bad about corn.
Blue jays?
Yeah, they'll get on air corn and really ruin it, picking the grains off of the cob.
Well, and they'll really hurt it.
Yeah. Eat it up.
Crow do that too?
Well, no, a crow ain't as bad, but a crow where he's bad, right after you plant it, when it's coming up, he'll pick it up. But a blue jay, after it macks, why, he'll get on that ear and eat the grains off of it.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Another thing, a deer will eat your corn up after it makes.
Yeah.
And you won't know it. You won't even know that they've eat it up until you start to gather in it.
Well, they don't injure the shuck.
No, they go in under the shuck, get all the corn off of it, leave a shuck hanging over the cob.
like a coon goes into a watermelon.
Yeah.
Well,
what was that you were saying before we got off on them birds? Yeah.
You were.
Yeah, we had them
squash
plant over there. Got them real early, and they come up, had a good stand, and it was beautiful. And just started to bloom, and it turned cold. Boy, killed every one of them. So we had to plant over.
Now they won't come out again.
Oh, no. They're gone. Well, we made out pretty good after replanting them on about the third picking, and the market went busted. We had about 1,600 hampers on the road. And we got notice for some of them. Wanted us to pay the freight on. I said, forget it.
Now, let me tell you, mister, this land down here, stir that up when the weather's dry, it just turns to sand. I don't know whether it makes the water rise or not, does it?
Yeah. It'll make moisture rise.
Well, let me tell you. Now, this little end piece down here, I just planted that over there a little at a time. Seemed like I couldn't get it all off. I'd break down or something. Now, it was wet until I started getting it ready to seep in. It was pretty wet in there, right up to the time. And then it just turned to sand.
Mm.
And I went ahead and put the seed and the fertilizer out there and sort of covered it, cut it in. But now that hadn't got enough moisture to bring the seed up.
It'll come up.
It won't come before it rains.
No, probably may not, but some of it will come up anyways.
But up in Georgia, it would draw enough moisture to bring it up in season when the ground's warm, wouldn't it?
Well, this ground here, it's spotted. There's places here that you haven't got anything but sand, and then there's other places that you got clay subsoil.
Yeah.
And all this land here in Florida, the same way. No make no difference where you go. That field of mine up there, they got up there and got over it when it's wet. They didn't get over all of it. There's a couple of places they couldn't get over. They marred down. But they got it planted. But Williams, he said, his way back over his place there, his was spotted that way, and some of it was worse than mine, that they couldn't get over at all.
Oh, he helped him out on it?
No, he'd done the planting. That's his corn, what you call it. They give it up.
Oh, did they?
Yeah. I don't know why, but...
Well, what happened to that big boy? Is he...
No, he's still around there, I think he's... They're kind of starting to remodel the house inside, and I think he's doing that and messing around. I don't know.
Well, he's got a lot of work in him, Mr. Young.
Oh, he's a good working boy. He's worked all the time.
You know, they come over here and help me make a crop of that hay. And it rained on him. And he'd take a hold of that machinery and move. And Now, he's just a boy. He's still in high school, isn't he?
No, he's going to college.
Oh, is he?
Was, but he dropped out. He went in the Naval Reserve. He's supposed to have been out for 6 weeks, and he was going back, but he ain't went back yet. I don't know why, but I don't know too much about it, only grapevine gossip.
Well, he can take care of himself.
Yeah.
That's one thing about it. Don't stand off and wait for somebody else to pick it up.
He's a good boy. He's a hard worker.
Is he the only boy up there?
Yeah. Well, they got a little boy. A little boy.
Yes. Oh, he's that handsome little boy that comes down there and visits Mr. Patterson. Oh, he just put it in the picture. Well, let me see. What would you do with this then, Mr. Gilbert?
Well, they ain't much.
Now, you see, like the old county agents, they wouldn't hardly, didn't want, like to tell people what to do. Because they'd hold them responsible if they didn't work right.
Well, there ain't much you can do to that out there until you get some water on it.
Yeah.
Way I look at it.
And then you go ahead and cut it like I started?
Yeah, you can cut it. That'd hold the moisture up. And then after that, you could turn it if you wanted to, if you want a better seed bed. But if you get a good season in there, you could probably make a pretty good seed bed with your disc. Put some weight on there where you can flop it up.
Oh, that second trip, it'll go down. I've tried it. I've been doing it down there. Oh, it goes down again. Yeah, I'll pull it. When would you put your fertilizer on?
Well, I wouldn't put it on there till you can if you want to. If you get a good season in there before it gets dry enough to do that, you can go on that and put your fertilizer on, broadcast it on, and then cut it in. It'd be a good idea.
At the same time you put your seed?
Well, you can.
Well, you know what I was thinking? That bahia is so small when it comes up, and it grows so slow. If you start fertilizing it, you're going to fertilize the weeds.
Yeah, if you fertilize it after it comes up, you're liable to burn your grass.
That's right.
You got to put your fertilizer in there before you plant it, or when you plant it.
When you plant it, then mix it up.
Either way. But if you put it on there after it comes up, you're liable to kill your grass. It'll burn it up.
Yeah.
You can go through corn with your old soda and stir. Putting it over the top, you can go in there and throw it through there. Well, where it hits your blades of corn, it'll turn it white. It'll burn it then. But
yeah,
that don't hurt it, see, after it gets up right there. It don't hurt your stalk.
Yeah.
But you take little stuff and let that hit that way, kill it.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. Yeah. Yes, I've had bad luck doing that. Even out here planting stuff, just planting around like this.
We used to side dress it out in the middle with a Guiana distributor, put it in. But most times when you, instead of doing that, we just put a sack on and go along and by hand, see?
Yeah.
And you wouldn't get nothing on the corn or whatever you're doing, see?
Yeah.
Put it in the middle.
Yeah.
And then go ahead and plow it in when you're cultivating.
I think that's about as good a system as any. You know, I've seen they use these. The only one I know and have any feel for is that Easy Flow. Because you can just see that coming out.
Mm.
And,
meaning granulated, pelleted.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. And there were 2 inches, what is it, underneath there, that stuff's coming out. Well, you got a sort of feel for what's coming out. But now when you put it in these spreaders on the back of your tractor or wherever, it's sort of guesswork to me. Now, if I can set it, if I knew how to set it, it'd be all right.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that the people that fool with it, they put the fertilizer on that piece up there in mine with broadcasting with the tractor.
Yeah, they can do it.
And they had experience with it, they know how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he come up there and he sprayed that too for that nut grass before he put his fertilizer on. I don't know whether it'll do any good or not. Don't look to me like that he put enough of spray out there to do too much, but maybe he did. He may know. I don't know. I never had any experience with that.
And I hadn't had. I didn't even know about that, Mr. Gilbert. You can do that.
They claim you can. I don't know.
Spraying for nothing.
I had no experience with it. I'm telling you nothing about that.
Oh.
Yeah.
They claim that it does. Same as that weed killer. They got a weed killer, you know, you broadcast, kill your weeds, but.
Yeah.
And crabgrass. They're getting pretty smart, you know. I don't know if they think they are, anyhow. And maybe a gimmick to get you money, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, it sure be worth it if you get rid of some of that old nut grass.
Now, Fred Woods, he used it on this piece of corn over here. Had a spray there for kill that Johnson grass. But he said that he didn't think it done too good. He thought it made it grow faster. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe he didn't put enough on there. And this fella up there might not have put enough either. It didn't look to me like it was too much. Of course, it was spraying out there. He had the outriggers there. He was taking in a space about as wide as this room here.
Yeah. Oh, yes. They really spread it 20 foot wide.
Yeah.
Them beans, you can't get a variety of beans that last longer than two or three pickings?
No. The best ones they had was a Black Valentine. We used to grow them. And you get about three pickings out of them, that's about all.
Well, at that rate, you got to stagger it and have some more coming on.
Yeah, well, what we was raising them, when we raised them, we was raising them for market.
Yeah.
And probably by the third picking, well, the market's busted anyways. And
oh, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, if it wasn't, you couldn't afford to pick them and just
keep
them.
You just leave them there and let everybody that wants beans come and get them then.
Yeah.
We used to raise lots of beans. We had all that field over there across 441 over there where them kitchens live now.
Yeah,
we had,
catch
'em. Had all that field there in beans, and we had back at Miss Patterson's house, that field back in there towards Gill's in beans, and the lower part down there we had in squash, and we used to do a little farming.
Well, now,
and we had about 7 acres of cabbage up there one year.
Yeah.
Right beyond her house and on this side. And cabbage used to do good here, but they don't raise them anymore, and you raise them now, you can't even give them away.
Yeah.
That happened to us up there that year, and I ain't no fool with them since. We got them up there, and they come on, and it was a right dry fall. Well, it was raining when we started setting up then. We had to knock off, and we went back and finished setting, and it was real dry all winter, and we worked them out good and everything, and finally we made some cabbage. We went there and cut cabbage one trip and tuck them down there. And he says, don't bring any more cabbage down here, the market busted. So we never did cut anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple of niggers from down here around Tampa come up there one day in a truck looking for cabbage. You got any cabbage? I said, yeah, I got some cabbage out there. They put your going by then. It wasn't too good. He says, how much you want for them? I said, make me an offer. He says, I don't know. You know how they are. And they talk. I said, well, I ain't got time to talk to you too long. I says, you want some cabbage or don't you? I said, how much you give me for that field out there? He started humming. I says, tell me something, I'm going. I said, is it worth $50 to you? And he started running. I started to walk off. Said, I'll give you 25. I said, give me the 25. That's all we got on it. So I made it to cabbage. I hate to talk to a guy that can't tell me something.
Yeah. Yeah. Did you ever do business with anybody who had to go talk to his partners and all like that before they make
his mind? Yeah, well, I'd already talked to Miss Patterson. I says, you do whatever you want to them. If you can get anything out of them, I'll take it. Whatever you think. I said, well, we ain't going to get nothing out of them the way they are because they done going too far to go to market if they had any market for them. And I went over there and I gave her half of the money. I said, well, that's the cabbage crop.
Yeah. Well, let me tell you, man.
They didn't get a price of our cabbage slips or fertilizer or nothing or work or nothing. Boy, it was. I said, well, that ends that.
Oh.
Well, about when was that?
Oh, it was about, I don't know.
50.
It was back in the, I don't know, it was long in the late 40s or 50, I guess.
Yeah.
I didn't come up here till 45, so.
Oh. Now.
It was so disgusting, I don't like to remember it.
That might mean down at the auto inspection. Now, when you and Miss Patterson was farming, you didn't do any of the work yourself. You just had it done.
No, I done all of the tractoring and all the other stuff, but we hired it done, like hoeing and picking and.
Well, now I'd like you
like that.
Putting in the cabbage over there. What would you do? Break it with a tractor?
No, I went in there and laid it off, see?
Yeah.
The front of them is fresh, see? I had a bunch of niggers in there setting them, see?
Oh. Yeah. They'd take
They'd take a little old stick about so long, you know, sharpen on one end.
Yeah, I've done it, yes. That's one little pig.
Yeah. So you had to watch them, half of them, and put them in there, right? And one thing, another. Biggest trouble you had when you went picking. If you didn't get in there, you'd pick these squash, you know, you want them when they're about the size of a Coca-Cola bottle.
Yeah.
Well, they'd pick the big ones, see, because they fill the basket up fast.
Oh.
And then you'd have to throw them all out.
Oh, really?
And picking beans. Instead of picking the ones that were right to snap, if there were some old ones, another one, you go where you, first picking, you'd be all right. You'd get fine beans. But then they'd mess a lot of them, you know. They was in a hurry. They was picking by the hamper, so much a hamper, see. So they'd want to get big beans, and they was in a hurry to get old, and they'd leave a lot of them. By the second picking come over, they left. Was too old, see, but they went to the basket anyhow when they filled the basket up, see. Oh, yeah, it was a headache all the way through.
Yeah, and the one thing you could do about it?
No, well, you get some nigger that was a hauling. They had an old nigger up at Micanopy used to have a truck. He'd haul the pickers out, you know, if you put him in charge and bear down on him. Well, he'd get on them niggers. Well, if he got on too hard, they'd all quit, so. It was a mess.
Let me tell you, we'll go by there. I want to show you that little horse.
And the white man, you can't get out there and bear down on them niggers, tell them, you know, just what, because they'll all walk out of the field, see? But you got to put a nigger in charge. And if he gets too rough on them, well, they'll go anyhow. But nigger do more with them than white men.
Well, you know, when I told you that, when I come down here, I saw all this manpower going to waste, and I thought I'd use some of it. And I had sweet potatoes right out there in the corner. And I remember the first morning, I gathered up hands. And I remember George Mitchell's little girl. She come over here and stayed an hour and said she had to leave. She had to go to Sunday school convention. And she just stood there and expected me to take her. And, you know, I read them signs mighty fast. But I still didn't know enough not to get into it. Mm. That's my trouble. So I just had to worry with that, you see. That whole, I worried with them sweet potatoes until the frost got them.
Mm.
Yes, sir. But I didn't get into any more. But I got into them. Now, a fella ought to be able to sound out things and not get into mischief like that.
Well, I first year I was up there, I had a mule. I was farming with a mule. I had that whole field end up there, and I had about an acre up next to the house there, and these English peas. Thomas Claxton English peas.
Yeah.
And
I'd give anything if I could raise English peas. They're the best thing.
Yeah,
early in the year.
Well, they're the easiest thing in the world to grow. And the time to plant them here is New Year's Day. Or round about that. All these people here, you know, say, time to plant peas. All these niggas say, time to plant English peas is New Year's Day.
Yeah.
Says the worms won't bother them and they'll do fine. Well, I planted mine then, and you never seen like an English pea in your life. Boy, they was peas there. Geez, they just loaded the vine down and fell over, you know. Well, these niggers don't like to pick English peas. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that then, but. I got an old nigger up there. I had a bunch of kids. Making hope you had to go up and get them, bring them down there, and had to give them a dinner and take them home. And they picked peas pretty good in the morning. In the afternoon, well, they drug on. They didn't do much. I think we got about 30 or 40 hampers out. I said, you all coming back tomorrow? I can't come back tomorrow, Mr. Gilbreth. I said, forget it. So me and the kids went out there when they come in from school, and we would get out about 10 hampers. I found a fella up here in South Carolina running a hotel up there, one of the English peas, but he only wanted 10 hampers a week, see? So I babied along that about 3 weeks, you know, and he got a notice from, you know, he's getting a little older, you know, and he said, don't ship any more peas up there. So then I had about 30 hampers, I reckon it was, that I didn't know what to do with. So I took them down here to Christian. Christian was down there, and he was shipping out there. I said, Mr. Christian, I got some English peas here. I says, you got a place for them? I says, I got a car out there going to New York. I says, put them in there. I says, I'll try to get you some money out of them. So I put them in there. So he did. I got $3.50 a hamper out of them. It's pretty good. And I got a bunch there. It wasn't enough to ship anywhere. And I threw them in the car and took them up in Gainesville. There, an old man, Robertson. In Robertson's grocery store, the old man's dead now, but where it is there on First Street now, or First Avenue, it was across the street where that parking lot is there and then. And I went in there and I just had a handful in my hand. I said, Mr. Robinson, you need some peas this morning? He looked at him. He said, I'll take all you got. He didn't ask me what I was getting for him or nothing. So I set what I had in there. I went down to the cash register and told him how many I had, and I said, they're $3.50 a hamper. That's what I got for them. That's all. He paid me. That's all it was to it. That was the end of the pea crop. But there was a lot of peas out there, and they did get. You never seen like peas in your life. A place like turnip.
Oh, I just love to see them. Well, now, what mule was that you had that time, Mr.?
A mule?
Yeah.
Oh, a little old mule I picked up, and he finally He died. He got hung up in a wire fence up there and during the night and got out. And I went out there and got him loose, and he couldn't get up, so I killed him and drug him off.
Well, I don't remember things like that happening to mules.
I have to ask. I went down there in the woods, and he put his head up there eating moss or something, I reckon. He got hung down there in a grapevine one time, like died. A nigger come up there and said, "Mr. Gilbert, your mule is hung down." He hung. I went down there and he done got loose. And he said, "Well, he was hung up there in that grapevine and he was kicking and couldn't get loose." I said, "Well, he got loose himself before I got on there."
Yeah.
There's something always happening to that mule.
Oh, that just that mule.
Yeah.
And he's a little mule?
Yeah, he's small. He was stubborn. He was old. And them kids had a time with him. That boy of mine was growing up. He was about 5 years old, I guess, something like that. He got on it one day. Richardson's pasture wasn't fenced in, and there was a field there, and that road would grow it up, and they'd go around through there. And I was plowing down the lower end of the field, and he wanted to ride in the house, so he got on, and the mule decided he wanted to go in the house. He went away. I was pulling the holler and yelling, and the mule was going on. All them kids used to ride the mule, there's 4 or 5 of them, get on top of them one time and ride them. They had a lot of fun out of it.
Well, you had to work him to keep a little of the devil out of them so they could ride him. Well, they got the other way around.
Hell, he was gentle. He wouldn't hurt you.
Did you, I don't believe I've heard you mention that mule before. He's a little mule, old.
Yeah, he had weighed, I guess, about 800-900 pounds, I don't know.
Well, that's not so awful small, is it?
Yeah, it's pretty small for a mule.
What's a good size for a mule?
1,100 pounds.
Oh, yeah, I guess so.
Most of your mules weigh that much?
Mm.
Well, I'd call that a pretty good-sized mule.
Well, you get one that's smaller than 900 pounds. Well, he just hasn't got the weight to do your work.
Yeah. Let me tell you, I got to take Mr. Gilbert back for eight.
Yeah.
You know more about horse than I do. Step down there and show him that little horse, Tony. I'll tell you something about him when you get back. I'll be right here and we'll go on home.
So Faye and Mr. Gilbert went on to see Tony, and I had some hopes that they'd come on back up, you know, and talk a little bit more, but not much, because Mr. Gilbert had, I could tell he's done all the talking, at least in the kitchen, that he's going to talk. Now, he'd talk outside, but the best talk he did when we first came over, out there looking in the Bahia, and after that, it was not quite as sustained. He's ready to go out there. He didn't feel too much at home in the kitchen. This is Channel 1 Right 615. Channel 1 Right 615, Tuesday the 28th of April, 1970. About that, Tuesday the 28th, somewhere along there. It's Tuesday this morning, about noon now, the 28th of April, 1970. Channel 1 Right, around 620 now.